But I just want to make a really brief comment on this prayer that Paul is praying. I just noticed that it looks like he's praying for things in stepwise for the Ephesians. So first of all, he prays for that they would be strengthened with the might of the Spirit in the inner man. And then after that, after they're strengthened, only through this strength, Christ is able to dwell. So only by this strength of the Spirit that we can mortify the flesh, and that Christ now has access and can dwell fully in the and dwell in us by faith. And then after that, we are beginning to able to comprehend. Of course, we're not going to be able to comprehend and apprehend knowing this love fully while here on earth, but it's a continual process. So I just thought it was a nice observation to notice that stepwise prayer.
Again, we keep talking about the wealth, the treasures that we have. It just makes my heart rejoice to know that I have all of these things. So now, how many of you have heard of 3D printing? All right. I see a couple of engineerings here. That's a wonderful thing, right? You print thing in 3D. It comes out in three dimension. And how many of you have went to an IMAX theater and put the 3D glasses on? Right? And you see things just so vivid, so big. Because what they want to show you is so tremendous. So they want you to see more than your naked eyes could see. But when it comes to the things of God, it's not 3D. It's 4D. Brother John spoke about that. What do we have in verse 18? That you might be with all saints able to apprehend. What is the first dimension? Come on, Jeff, say it out loud. Okay. What's the second one? And what's the third one? And what's the fourth one? You're putting on 4D glasses. You are seeing something out of a 4D printer. No human mind can get to that. That's 3D as far as he could go. Look at what you have. He wants you that you know, well, it's not for me. He wants you to enjoy that and to know the love of Christ. You know what? Young people, love is something that everybody is seeking after. People are seeking love. You know why young people sometimes get into trouble? Because they are seeking love and they go the wrong way about it. And they get into trouble. Young ladies, young men, I feel I'm not loved. So I go hang around the wrong crowd because I feel now I have identity. I feel I belong. So I pierce my ears or my nose or paint my hair blue or do something and tattoos myself and make myself ugly. Ugly. So people will accept me. Really? Really? A child of God? You belong to a royal company. You are a son of God. I want you to put the 4D glasses on. Forget about the Google glasses now. And I want you to see what God have for you. But I also want you to know that the love of Christ is beyond measure. You are looking for love. You want to be rooted and grounded in love. So every time somebody come and slap you, you are stable like the oak tree that we have heard about. It's in love. You need to know the love of Christ. Jesus loved me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's the first song they sing in the Sunday school class, right? It seems like an easy something. I want you to think about that. That Jesus loves me. He said that you might know. I think they got that hymn from here. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. If you are rooted in love, if you know that you are loved, you know what? You have this peace and rest. You see people agitated all the time, sitting. If you have the love of Christ, if you are rooted in Him, you're calm, you're stable, you're quiet, you have that confidence in the Lord, and you are not going to bow down or give yourself up for the trash of this world.
So I too would like to still emphasize again that this person is practically in verse 20. Now unto him. Let those words echo. It's not me. It's not my brethren. As much as we love our brothers and sisters, it's him. Now unto him. always remember, He is able. He is the resource. He calls you something to do something for Him. He will never, ever ask you to do something that He doesn't give you the ability and the resources and the wherewithal to do it. Now unto Him, but there's something else that's great. He is able. I can trust Him. Listen, who is your helper? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. What are His credentials? He made the heavens and the earth. Think of that. He is the one that is standing along beside me. He is the one that is enabling me to be here for His honor and glory. He is the one that is over every circumstance that comes into my life. I go out in this book as a soldier. I may have come in as a trainee, as some of us did in the military years ago, going into basic training and not knowing a lot and being learned and being instructed. But the day that we came out of that training, we were no longer trainees. When you've been through the book of Ephesians, you are no longer a trainee. You are a soldier in this battle. The greatest battle that is going on is the battle for souls that goes on in this world, for believers to live here in fidelity to Christ. Listen, this is the enabling power. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what I can even think of. You just imagine that. I can't even in my mind comprehend what He can't do, because He can do everything. So He says, unto Him that is able, unto Him be glory in the assembly by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. This is in a certain sense the end of this training for me. I'm going to leave the training room here, and I'm going to, by God's grace, now enter out into where I learn how to practice the very principles that will enable me to serve Christ in a way that brings honor unto Him. Let's remember something. The things we come into in this chapter, none of us can do them naturally. Some may be sweeter, kinder, whatever, as far as your personalities are concerned. Some of us perhaps are a little rougher. But I'll tell you something, when you come to verses 1 and 2, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it.
Quick question about verse 1 and how He beseeches us to walk worthy of the calling which we were called. How does this form of walking worthy relate to the walking worthy that we studied last year in Colossians 1:10?